A couple of years ago, we were visiting Carl's mom in her nursing home. Her nursing home is in the town where I went to high school and where the campus of the college I went to is located. It is the campus where my father had his office as a professor of the university. It is a place that I know very well, until I didn't. Carl asked me to run out to the store to pick up some things for his mom while he stayed and talked with her. Sure, I said, because the store was across from the friendly ice cream store where I used to hang out as a teenager after football games. I knew this area well. It was early evening, but by the time I finished shopping, it had gotten dark. On the way back to the nursing home, I got lost. Not because I forgot the way, but because the way back had changed. The roads that I had been so familiar with had changed over the course of the last 30 years. I knew this. We visit the nursing home fairly often. But I forgot a turn that I thought went somewhere else. And all the changes looked different in the dark. I ended up in a labyrinthine parking lot of an apartment complex that was brand new. And GPS, when I finally turned it on, had not yet adjusted to this particular configuration of roads. It was frustrating and annoying because I should have known these roads. But now they were different. It is easy to get lost, especially when we think we know where we're going. We set out on well-trod paths that were pioneered and that worked for others. We believe they should work for us, but they don't. Because the paths no longer lead where they once did, or the paths so right for one person are not right for others. In trying to follow the paths made by others, we find ourselves getting lost. The great teacher Parker Palmer writes of his own journey. He writes of following the path that he thought he should lead. He followed mentors, began a career as a university professor, talked at his students in lectures, did everything his mentors and guides told him he should do. Eventually, he suffered serious depression. What everyone was telling him did not fit what he was feeling. He wrote in A Hidden Wholeness, "When I was living my outer life at great remove from my inner truth, I was not merely on the wrong path. I was killing myself with every step I took." When one's life is a walking death, the step into literal death can seem very easy to take. We can reclaim our lives only choosing to live, divided no more. What does Palmer mean by a divided life? He means a life lived in contradiction. He writes, "We make our living at jobs that violate our basic values, even when survival doesn't demand it. We hide our beliefs from those who disagree with us to avoid conflict, challenge, and change. We conceal our true identities for fear of being criticized, shunned, or attacked. At the heart of all this is our need to be loved, our need to belong, our need to fit in. And so we live these divided lives in which we feel most deep, in which what we feel most deeply to be true is hard to reconcile with how we are living our lives and the meanings and outward manifestations of success that others have defined for us. A divided life, Palmer tells us, is a wounded life. And a wounded life leads us to numb our pain in substance abuse, overwork, consumerism, mindless media noise. And he says all these things are easy to come by, in a society that wants us to be divided and unaware of our pain. Because he writes that a divided life that is pathological to individuals can serve social systems well, especially ones that are morally dubious. In our children's story this morning, we hear about students of a great master. They are willing to do what the master asks. And because, except for one young boy, they have not developed their own moral center, they are willing to compromise what they believe to be true and rationalize something that's kind of morally sketchy. They want to do what's right, but they are unsure about what that might be. When we hear this story, we can imagine situations similar in our own lives where we can rationalize things that deep down we know are wrong. Sometimes it's a lot easier and more convenient to take the morally sketchy route, especially if we know there will be no consequences, and there might even be rewards. That is what it means to live a divided life. Life can be complicated because what is right is not always obvious. Like my story in the beginning, the road may now lead to the wrong place. How many of us were raised to believe that sexuality beyond monogamous heterosexual relationships within marriage was wrong? How many of us were raised to be wary of people who were not like us, who practiced a different religion, who spoke a different language, whose skin was too dark? How many of us were taught to believe that there was a distinct path to success, that success meant a very particular thing? How many of us believed that those who were not successful because they were lazy or didn't follow the right path? And how many of us learned that all those things we were taught to fear and all that success we were taught to embrace wasn't right, didn't fit us? The writer Margaret Young wrote, "Often people attempt to live their lives backward. They try to have more things or more money in order to do more of what they want will make them happier. The way it actually works is the reverse," she says. "You must be who you really are, then do what you need to do in order to have what you want." And I suggest that what we really want is not necessarily what society tells us we should want in innumerous ways through advertising and marketing. The psychologist Brené Brown writes about living authentic lives. She said that she used to think that authenticity was a quality that a person had or didn't have. But she came to believe that authenticity is a practice. She writes, "Authenticity is the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are." This is not easy. It takes a certain amount of risk and vulnerability and cultivating the courage to be imperfect. When we practice lives of authenticity, we may alienate those around us who had gotten used to the less authentic person we used to be because we no longer fit into their worldview that they considered safe. Like Parker Palmer, Brené Brown acknowledges the effects of living a divided, inauthentic life. She writes, "If you trade in your authenticity for safety, you may experience the following: anxiety, depression, eating disorders, addiction, rage, blame, resentment, and inexplicable grief." It is no wonder that we are surrounded by people who are feeling slightly less than whole. So many of us are caught up in quiet lives of desperation because we cannot practice authenticity. It goes against the very nature of some of the institutions within which we live our lives. It is difficult to extract ourselves from contexts that do not reward and often punish authenticity, especially if it critiques or goes against a particular status quo. But in the end, writes Brené Brown, being true to ourselves is the best gift that we can give the people we love. And writes Parker Palmer, when we live an authentic life, we gain the courage to serve institutions more faithfully, to help them resist the temptation to default on their own missions. An undivided life is never lived without context. Our lives are inextricably tied to the lives of others. Living authentic lives means living with communities of care that help us be accountable to ourselves and to others. In order to honor the deep voice of authenticity within, we need to, as Palmer writes, people to invite, amplify, and help us discern that voice within. We are never meant to go it alone. Without support, we can fail. We can fail to hear or discern fully who we think we should be and need community to help us find the courage we need to proceed. Community does not tell us how to proceed, but walks with us on the journey, encouraging and challenging us. That is why we seek out community. That is why many of us come here. We seek a place where we can be authentic. We seek a place that helps hold us accountable to our moral center. A place where we are loved both when we are living undivided lives and in those times when we fail. What we seek is to be loved and to belong. In real community, belonging doesn't mean fitting into what already exists and maintaining the status quo. It means challenging ourselves and the community to be more loving, more authentic, and more inclusive, and moving through the changes together. Sometimes the roads we have always known change. They no longer lead where we thought they would. They no longer lead us to the places where we feel whole. And so we need to find new roads. We even need to create new roads because we're going to places and finding ourselves in situations and in moral conundrums that people before us have never faced. So we may not know what it might mean to be true to our moral compass and center. We may not know what it might mean to be authentic. And so we find ourselves in community, in communities of care that help us discern, as others around us discern, what it means to live undivided lives. Amen and blessed be.